Well, Heavenly Father, to come before your word, we pray that you'd speak. We pray, Father God, that your word would move us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're working through the life course leading up to the turning. The idea is to kind of just get familiar with the basics and make sure that we're doing the basics. Because if we're going to be teaching people, bringing people in, we've got to know ourselves. But actually, more than knowing it ourselves, we've got to do it ourselves. Because the Bible says that, let me paraphrase it, it's no good having a form of godliness because you deny the power if it's not in practice. I think I should be praying more. I think I should read my Bible more. I know I should be more spiritual. I know I should. See, that I know I should, but I don't do. It's empty, it's meaningless. The knowing that you should do it, but not doing it, is ineffective, it's powerless. And so when we come in into the turning, our hope is as a church, we are in a place where we're not hearers only, but doers of the word. Amen? So I hope this morning that we would be moved to pray. As I was preparing this, I wanted to keep it as short as possible, which is a challenge for me. Because the Lord really said, I felt the Lord saying, or maybe it was me saying to him, why am I going to be preaching on prayer? Why don't we just pray instead? Doesn't that make sense? Because I'm like, surely they know. Surely we know. I said, Lord, well, let's just pray instead. Let's just pray. So I'm going to keep it short because, I don't know, I feel that I'm cheating somebody if I don't preach. But I'll keep it very short as I can. But I do want us to just enter into a place of prayer this morning, if that's okay. Okay, so I'm speaking on prayer. So first question, what is prayer? You guys know how I roll by now, right? What is prayer? Just shout. Talking to God. Listening to God. Someone's been looking at my slides. What is prayer? Two-way communication. Any others? What is prayer? You can put those up, huh? Peace. Talking to God, listening to God. Yes, at its most basic, prayer is talking to God. And it should amaze you. It should amaze you that God is even interested in what you have to say. I mean, seriously. It amazes me. I'm like, have I got anything like... He said to Solomon... He said, I have heard your prayer, and my eyes and my ears will be attentive to the prayers that's praying in this place. So when you get into a place to pray, God actually stoops down to hear what you're going to say. That should amaze you. That should amaze you. I mean, it should amaze you that God... But actually, more important than you talking to God, much more important than you talking to God is Him talking to you. Because the things that I have to say to him are absolutely not worth comparing to hearing one word that he would say to me. And so prayer is very much about how much you're listening to him, not as much as what you're... Do you know what I mean? Because when he speaks, things happen. Boom. Let there be, and there is. But of course, if your whole time of prayer is just about talking and just about listening, you miss the intimacy. Because actually... From creation, from Adam and Eve, to Moses, to David, to Jesus, you see it all the way through. He's looking for intimacy. He's looking for people that are coming to him, not because I want. He's looking for people not to come just to say, Lord, just speak to me. He's looking for people that are happy to just be resting in his presence. That's a whole nother level, where you're there with him, not talking and talking. Not just saying, Lord, I need a word from you. Please give me direction. But actually, happy to just sit in the stillness and just enjoying his presence. Okay, next slide. How do you pray? You know, what's the most famous prayer in the Bible? We should know it off by heart. After three. 1, 2, 3. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. forgive us our sins or trespasses, if you're doing King James, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. They asked Jesus, you pray, man. Teach us how to pray. And that's what Jesus said. And we've kind of made that a formula, and there are lots of different formulas that come out of that. They say it starts with adoration and confession and thanksgiving, supplication and all that kind of stuff. And it's great. It's great. But we miss some things when we do that. Some people kneel, some people... I'm going to get my Bible now and actually read. Because Jesus gives more instruction. How do we pray? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times. You see, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So when we come to prayer, and I'm going to talk about effective prayer. Effective prayer is that from which comes from within the depth of your spiritual man or woman. See, Paul says you don't know how to pray. Let's make no bones about it. He says that you don't know how to pray as you should. He said, but the Spirit groans inwardly and makes intercession for us. So it's no big shame to say I don't know how to pray. See, half the time I come into prayer, my mind is like the stormy sea. So the first thing is that silence, is that stillness, is coming into a place of prayer. Silent, you know that. The letters that spell silence are also the letters that spell listen. You know the prayer that you pray when you're like on your way to work and you're late and you're saying, Lord, please change the traffic light? Those sort of prayers are not coming from a place of the Spirit. They're coming from a head place of panic. That's not how to pray. Those prayers when you're just in trouble and you say, oh Lord, I need help now. A lot of times, those prayers are just coming from the outward man, the outward woman. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites that do long, loud prayers that go on and on and on. He said, lock yourself away. Solitude. Go somewhere quiet. Go somewhere away from the crowd. And Jesus himself did that. He fed 4,000 people. They were looking for him. He went away from the crowd to a quiet place. Solitude. Why? Because your spirit can come to the surface. Because in a quiet place, you can still your mind. And if you're anything like me, it takes time for my mind to stop doing all this and begin to actually calm. It takes time. Next slide. I'm going to just race through because I want to give enough time for us to pray at the end. Now, here's a more important question than how do we pray. I'm going to ask you, don't put the answers up for this one. Where are you going? Why? People say, well, if God is sovereign, if God knows everything, God knows everything that's going to happen, everything is within His hands, why pray? Why? It strengthens you? Relationship, the communication, yep. Why pray at all? Sorry? To get direction from God? Petition? Sorry? He simply told us to pray. Ask of me, he says. He simply told us to pray. Who was that? Oh, don't wait. That's the end. Hold up. Back up a bit. Back up a bit. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face and pray. I paused and I said, Lord, why is it? Why should we pray? And you're all right. But actually, what I felt the Lord say to me, and I'll come on to that passage, you pray to align yourself with God's purposes. You pray to align yourself with God's purposes. That's why you need to hear, so that He can direct your path. Prayer is not just, Lord, do for me, do for me, do for me, do for me. Prayer is, what is the purpose that you have for me? How do I walk in it? Because that's where you will see effective prayer. That's where you see prayer that has purpose. That's where you see prayer that has power. The Bible talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like you. Same fear, same doubt, same anxieties. But when he prayed, there was power. Why? Because Elijah didn't turn up on the scene asking for his wants and his needs to be met. Elijah had spent time knowing, hearing what God was doing in the season. So when Elijah turns up and says there's not going to be any rain, it's not because he knew the heart of God. He knew what God was doing in that season. And he simply walked in it. He simply walked in it. Very quickly, there are three types of prayer that God wants us to pray. Okay? Supplication. It's true. He has said we should ask. He has said we should ask. But if you listen when Jesus said that we shouldn't ask as the world asks for clothing, for what we're going to eat, for this, for that. But he said the world seeks after that. But you seek after the kingdom. So we're supposed to be asking. Our supplication supposed to be for the kingdom. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. So you start with worship. Your kingdom. Your kingdom and your will. That's how it starts. Everything else that follows in that prayer is in alignment with your kingdom and your will. How did it end? Thy kingdom come. So it's sandwiched with your kingdom. So when supplication comes, while you're praying, you're supplicating for his kingdom. I could say much more on that, but next one, intercession. The most powerful prayers are intercessory prayers. Why? Because you're praying for somebody else. No greater love than you should lay down your life for somebody else. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you. Someone's praying for you. So it's okay. If Jesus is praying for you, it's all right for you to, you know, take the focus off yourself. Because Jesus himself, the man, King of Kings, yeah? All powerful one, the Almighty, is interceding for you. So it's all right to shift your focus to kingdom. It's all right for you to shift your focus to others, to the lost, to your friends, to your colleagues, for your nation. It's all right if you don't pray for yourself. And the last one is contending prayer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Why you pray is because there are people that need to be engaged in warfare. There are things and victories that we will only get when we engage in spiritual warfare. There are places you will not go if you don't contend in the heavenlies. There are things that won't shift on earth unless you enter into a spiritual place and contend from there. That is why we pray. Again, I could say more, but I want us to actually pray. Amen. Amen. There was only one prayer of Jesus that didn't get answered. Does that surprise you? There was one prayer that he prayed that God didn't answer. Which prayer was that? Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. The moment, the one time Jesus prayed for himself, the one time he prayed for his self-interest, the one time he prayed for his own self-preservation, God said, nah, I ain't doing that. Don't care if you're Jesus. Well, that's why. You're here for others. You contend for them. You intercede for them. You supplicate for them. We need to follow in his footsteps. I'm just going to, 2 minutes, talk about James chapter 4. And then we're going to pray. Might be longer than 2 minutes. If you've got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. This is what James says. And I'm reading from verse 1. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And he goes on, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And he goes on. James was writing, I think he was writing to the church in Jerusalem, actually. I could be wrong. I think it was the church in Jerusalem. The center, the capital church. And he was observing that they're quarreling and they're fighting. They're quarreling, they're fighting, they're strife. He says, you're killing each other. But yet, you're praying. And he says, is it any wonder that your prayer is not getting answered? He says, firstly, you're praying for selfish reasons. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Lord, favor me. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. He says, you're praying to spend it on yourself. So that's not the type of prayer that God answers. You're praying with wrong motives. They were not in alignment. You can put those up now. Their prayers were hindered. Because firstly, they were just from a sinful place. They were coming from a sinful place. Secondly, their motives were selfish. They were not in alignment with thy kingdom and thy will. And he says, you're worldly. You're being influenced. So the things that you're asking for are being influenced by the world and the society around you. You're looking at Jerusalem and people that are affluent, and you're thinking, Lord, make me affluent like them. You're looking at the world, people who are doing quite well, and you're saying, Lord, make me like them. And the Lord is like, but do you not know that friendliness with the world, worldliness, puts you directly out of alignment with the kingdom? So you're asking, your motive, the thing that you want is not kingdom. And God said, I ain't going to honor that prayer. When Jesus asked for himself, I said, no, because that's not kingdom. When Jesus said, preserve me, Jesus said, nah, you're going to the cross. And it's important for us to meditate on that. It's important for us to reevaluate when we come to pray. The times when we come before God's presence, the last person we should pray for is us. He said, I know what you need before you ask it. I already know your need. Our prayer should be hearing, firstly, God, bring me into alignment with your spirit, where you are, what you're doing. Where is your kingdom moving? Because that's where the power is. James tells us that Elijah's prayer were powerful and they were effective. Because he was in perfect alignment with the will of God. Last slide. Well, I don't think that's the last slide. When we come to pray, we need to pray with this mindset that, Lord, your will, not mine. That was the one prayer. If Jesus prayed his will, and his will did not get answered, how much more should we say, not my will, but yours, Lord. See, when Jesus is... How much more should we come and say, God, what is your will, actually? Let me just lay down everything that I think I want for myself. Everything that I think I am. Everything that I think... Let me just actually come to a place where I'm like, Lord, your kingdom and your will, just let me hear what it is. Just position me. Because whatever you ask according to his kingdom, Jesus has said it, whatever you ask in my name. We quote that scripture, but we leave the first part of that, which he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you know that whole thing about abiding. It's at the end of that that he says, whatever you ask, because you're in perfect alignment. Effective prayer. And I want to leave 10 minutes at least. I would encourage you to read Daniel 9. I was going to read it, but that is a whole sermon series on its own. So I'm not going to open my Bible to it, because you'll be here for a little bit longer than I anticipate this morning. But please read Daniel chapter 9. Do you know Corinthians 7:14? We know. We can say it forward and backward. When Daniel prayed, Daniel's prayer is an example of 2 Corinthians put into practice. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my... Daniel's prayer was an example of that in practice. When Daniel came to pray in Daniel chapter 9, he starts by saying, Lord, we have sinned. The first thing was reverence. He didn't just saunter in and, oh, 5-minute prayer. He spent days fasting, days seeking. It wasn't a 2-minute thing, oh, my time's up, you know, postcard prayer, you'll answer it tomorrow. You know, he didn't treat God in that way at all. He put on sackcloth. He fasted. He humbled himself. He repented for the sins of his people and the sins of his nation. Daniel was a righteous man. But you see him saying, Lord, please forgive. Please forgive us. We have sinned. We've not done what you said we should do. We have not lived as you've asked us to live. And so all these things have come upon us. The first thing he did was this reverence and repentance for his people, for his nation. The last one. Daniel had a revelation. His prayers was based very much on the Word of God. He knew his Bible. He knew that Jeremiah had prophesied 70 years. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, please. He knew. So his prayer was very much in alignment with God's will, in alignment with God's Word. So what he was praying was God's Word. Because God said, after 70 years, you're going to return to your land. So his prayer was coming not from a thing of, Lord, bless me, Lord, do this for me. It was coming from that place of intimacy, that place of brokenness, that place of reverence. Church, I wonder if we can pray this morning. I wonder if we could just stand. Would you spend the last 10 minutes? And I just want us to focus really on two things. I want us to focus on our church and our nation. When I say our church, yes, we need a building. But that's not as important as the people. The building is not as important as the people. How are we going to reach people? How are they going to come? How are they going to see the glory? Where are they going to see the glory? It's in us, it's in you, it's in the person next to you. Carrying the glory of God. So pray. Yes, pray for building. But now, pray for people. Pray for your part in carrying the glory of God. If you're out of alignment, you make covenant to bring yourself into alignment. And then pray for the nation. That's it. The rest is up to you.